Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Service Equipment Corporation's third quarter 2017 results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session for analysts and institutional investors. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has any difficulties hearing the conference, please press star zero for operator assistance at any time. On behalf of management, I will remind you that certain matters discussed in today's conference call or answers that may be given to questions asked could constitute forward-looking statements that are subject to risks and uncertainties relating to Service future financial or business performance. Actual results could differ materially from those anticipated in these forward-looking statements. Certain factors and/or assumptions are applied in arriving at any forward-looking information, and additional detail about the material factors and/or assumptions employed to arrive at forward-looking information, as well as the material risk factors that may affect actual results, are contained in the MD&A Service's most recent quarterly filing, which is available on the SEDAR website at www.sedar.com. Please note that Service is under no obligation to update any forward-looking statements discussed today, except as required by applicable law, and investors are cautioned not to place undue reliance on these statements. I would like to remind everyone that this conference call is being recorded today, November 9th, 2017, at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Randy Muth, Chief Financial Officer of Service. Mr. Muth, you may begin.
Thank you very much, Operator. We achieved record quarterly revenue in the 3 months ended September 30th, 2017, primarily driven by our agriculture segment. Adjusted income, which excludes unrealized foreign exchange and gains on the sale of property, decreased $1.3 million to $9.2 million. Our agriculture segment realized a $900,000 increase in income before tax in the quarter. Revenue increased $31 million, or 13%, to $271 million compared to the same period in 2016, and gross profit increased 4%, or $1.5 million. These increases, along with the consistent SG&A expenses, resulted in $14 million of income from operating activities, a 3% increase quarter over quarter. Our transportation segment reported a $2 million decrease in income before tax. Excluding unrealized foreign exchange gains and losses, operating activities generated $100,000 of income in our Saskatchewan dealerships and a $600,000 loss in our Ontario dealerships. Turning to our commercial and industrial, or C&I, segment, income before tax improved by $500,000 to $1 million. These results were achieved through a 16% increase in revenue and stable expenses, with SG&A as a percentage of revenue declining from 27.7% to 24.1% quarter over quarter. That concludes the financial overview for this morning. With that, I will turn the call over to Graham for further comments. Graham?
Thanks, Randy. We're pleased to report that our service optimization initiatives continued to yield results this quarter, as overall service gross profit margin increased 4.2%, and all segments reported increase in parts and service revenue compared to the same period in 2016. On the strength of new equipment sales, our agricultural segment reported its second consecutive quarter of record revenue. Our targeted sales efforts, combined with a positive harvest outlook and favorable exchange rates, increased new equipment sales by 34% in the quarter. The earlier and easier 2017 harvest compared to 2016 did reduce the in-season demand for used equipment, as producers' urgency for additional machine hours was less critical than in the third quarter of 2016. However, the earlier harvest increased opportunities for parts and service revenue in the quarter, with parts and service revenue increasing 16% compared to the third quarter of 2016. Our near-term focus is on maintaining the healthy inventory turns of used equipment and continuing the momentum in our parts and service departments through the winter months. Our outlook for the agricultural segment is positive, supported by average yields, average to above average crop quality, and positive equipment orders for 2018 delivery. Turning to our transportation segment, our Saskatchewan stores reported a 2.8% increase in revenue, driven by new equipment sales and an overall gross profit percentage consistent with 2016. Our Ontario stores have maintained market share, but our efforts around alignment of expenses have yet to be reflected in the quarterly financial results. We are leveraging the skill set of our C&I team in developing and implementing systems and processes centered on the efficiency and profitability of our Ontario operations. While we're not satisfied with the performance, I'm pleased with the capabilities of our people. The hard decisions made by our C&I team in weathering the downturn in Western Canada are being shared with the Ontario team as our people rally around moving service as a whole going forward. We maintain our focus on improving parts and service department efficiencies while growing market share in Ontario. Within our C&I segment, parts and service revenue increased 32% compared to the same period last year, while maintaining a flat expense base. In addition to 2016 cost reduction initiatives, this segment's results were achieved through strategic efforts to adapt to the market, including a greater focus on providing customer solutions via training and other aftermarket products and services. We are pleased with the performance of our C&I business given the challenging Western Canadian market environment. That concludes our prepared remarks for this morning. We'd now be pleased to answer any questions you may have. Operator?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now conduct the question and answer session for analysts and institutional investors. If you have a question, please press the star key followed by the 1 on your touch-tone phone. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please ensure you lift the handset if you're using a speakerphone before pressing any keys. One moment, please, for your first question. Your first question comes from the line of Ben Chernyavsky of Raymond James. Your line is open.
Morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, Ben.
On the trucking side in Ontario, I would have thought that the market was, I don't know if it's growing rapidly, but it's a pretty healthy market out there, and your sort of revenues are holding flattish or don't seem to be reflecting that. Have I misread the market, or is your share still an issue trying to break into that market?
I think a bit of a on the market has been mixed. If the first half of the year, the market was trending down in terms of truck sales. So even in trucking volume, there wasn't a lot of optimism in the first half of the year. Going into the second half, coming out August and September, it has picked up. And in fact, two things are picked up. Number one is trucking demand has picked up, so our customers are busier. And secondly, the exchange rate was at a more attractive point, and we saw a lot more sales activity. Now, that sales activity doesn't necessarily translate in the quarter. Our forward sales today are significantly better than they were last year. So that's an indication that the sentiment is moving positive. We think the market, and Peterbilt as well, will be flat to slightly up by the end of the year compared to last year. So it's not showing the growth. North America-wide, there was a bit of an increase in the second half of the year, and Peterbilt's got some strong outlooks for next year. So a bit of a mixed market in terms of demand is picking up for our truckers, and orders are now coming in. I think exchange rate cannot be underestimated either, Ben, in terms of at the beginning of the year when we're at 135, 140, the hesitancy to buy. And at the peak of the Canadian dollar, we were at 122 here early September, and that certainly changes the sentiment and the pricing on a truck.
Well, maybe what I'm hearing is too U.S.-centric. It sounds like Canada's not as robust as the U.S.
I would say that is true, and I would say the U.S. was more robust earlier in the year. I don't know at this present time, and I think Ontario is more robust now.
And what is it that what are you guys finding that's so challenging about running that business? You've spent, Graham, you have a tremendous amount of experience in the John Deere world. You guys have been in the construction business for quite some time. And in fact, you even, you didn't have the challenges that you faced in Saskatchewan with trucking were more market-related, as I understand it. So what is it that you guys are trying to get your head around in Ontario with running a truck dealership business that might be different from the other kind of capital good distributors that you guys are so familiar with?
No, it's a great question. And, you know, one of the things we found was that the Saskatchewan operation, you're absolutely right about the Saskatchewan operations. When we acquired them, the five-store operation, actually four stores and the collision center, running 100 to 120 million revenue, so 25 million per store, per branch, was running well, had good market share, had very good market share historically over the last 30 years, and had a good flow of parts and service business coming in from dedicated, long-term Peterbilt customers. In Ontario, while the revenue is significantly higher, the number of stores is significantly higher, so our revenue per store is lower. It is more of the parts and service business, so it's more disseminated. And in that probably comes additional cost, and some of the structure in the business that we acquired had additional costs that we presumed were processes and systems that were needed in place that as we look closer at the business and compared to our C&I, I'm talking parts and service in particular right now, compared to our C&I, compared to our transportation in Saskatchewan, we see opportunities to streamline that that business. Parts delivery from our warehouses to the branches to customers. As we've grown our space, I think there's inefficiencies in it in terms of our ability to get it to the customers on a timely basis. So those inefficiencies turned into lower margins than we have today in our other businesses. So there's a lot of little things. The one major thing that we've done in the quarter is we've shifted leadership to focusing on parts and service, so an aftermarket leader, and also shifted the sales focus to a separate leader as well, so that we've got dedicated focus on those two different aspects of the business. Parts and service is about systems and processes to manage the expenses, to manage the costs, inventory turns, and delivery to customer. And we've leveraged all of the parts people across our organization to bring to some of the expertise we do have in ag and construction, and frankly, even in Saskatchewan, we hadn't leveraged it before. And on the sales side, that's a different focus as well. So we wanted to have a dedicated focus there as well. On the sales side, it's focus on market share, so we've got a more dedicated focus on that, and ensuring that we're achieving or reaching the different markets that are there. So more diversified market, large fleets, smaller vocational customers, all of them are important to us, and make sure that we attack all of those.
What about the customers themselves, like either operationally or even culturally? How is it different providing your product and services to a trucking company versus a farmer?
Amount of usage with a trucking company, span of availability of services for those customers. So as you know, over the last couple of years, we've added expenses by adding shops across the geography that they do. So a farmer might farm between 10 and 20,000 acres, and they might touch one of our stores, one of our branches, maybe two. And in rare cases, do we have customers in the ag side of the business that are significantly large that they might get service from three of our locations. Generally speaking, it's very localized. Not so on the trucking side. Lots of our customers are going coast to coast, but a lot of them in Ontario are going from Windsor to Ottawa to, you know, down the 401 highway. And if there is a breakdown, that's when they need us the most. How close are our stores so that they can limp in within 100 to 125K distance and get serviced? So as we've expanded out our number of service bays and number of shops, one of our challenges that we have is that historically there's a low market share, a low number of Peterbilts in there. So for us to fill our shops, we're dealing with less Peterbilt trucks than we normally would and more other brand trucks and servicing them, and that becomes more competitive.
Right. Okay, that's helpful. And would you guys be willing at this point, given your experience there, is this a platform you are still interested in scaling if a truck dealership came up in another region in Canada?
Yeah, we certainly know we have success in Saskatchewan over the last 5 years, and even in a down market, we've had success. So there, the model works in Ontario. It's you know, primarily it is growing the market share, growing the number of trucks out there, and building systems and processes that are consistent, that are affordable, so efficiency in terms of SG&A. And we do have areas in Ontario where we do that have that today, but we see a lot of opportunity for streamlining processes that will help our customers and will help us as a business. So certainly, you know, when we look at the business and the basics of it, there are a lot of things that are positive that we see in that.
Right. Okay, that's helpful. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ben.
Your next question comes from the line of Jacob Bout of CIBC. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. This is Rahul. I'm for Jacob.
Morning.
Morning. So on the ag side, so I'm just looking at the mix of total equipment as a percentage of the total sales. So it's about the same as last year for this quarter, but gross margins are down. So is that purely just a factor of weaker margins on new equipment, or is there something else at play here?
Yeah, I would say that we've talked about it over the last couple of quarters that the margin on new equipment is down slightly. And in fact, as we mentioned, our service margins have improved. So, you know, the combination means that it is definitely in the sales side of the business where the margins have been down slightly.
Yeah, particularly on the used side. So the new is down a bit, as Graham alluded to. The used was down more. So when we look at the two, it kind of blends to a softer equipment margin.
Gotcha. And are you seeing any improvement there this quarter, or seeing any signs of improvement there, or is it still very competitive?
I think one of the things we've talked about in the past is exchange rate. And as the price went up and we're dealing with a 130-135 exchange rate and the equipment prices were higher, margin realization was tougher for two reasons. One was used equipment values don't climb as the dollar climbs. They're more stable. So it's difficult to we want to make sure that we buy them right. So in a rising exchange rate, it affected our ability to take trades, so therefore we sold a little less. And what we saw probably in this quarter in particular was a more positive exchange rate and alignment with used equipment values that we could book in them. So hence the increase in used equipment sales. There was some inventory available, the pricing was right, and it worked all around for us.
Right. Okay. Well, that's helpful. And on the transportation side, so demand from customers or activity amongst customers is up. But then shouldn't parts and service be, shouldn't we see a bump there as well? I think it's up 3% for the quarter, but should we expect more of that, like if activity remains strong with customers?
Well, I think that's where we should see more of an improvement, not necessarily more quickly, because you sell a few more trucks, the dollars add up fast.
Right.
I do know that Saskatchewan, in particular, had a quiet July and August, just quieter than usual. I'm not sure why. The shops were not 100% full. They were down a little bit, so that was probably part of it. In terms of good weather, warm weather, a little lower activity. And interesting in Saskatchewan, it's a combination of farm business, it's a combination of oil and gas. And we're seeing a mixed market. We're seeing some activity in some areas, but quiet in others. Lloydminster heavy oil, still fairly quiet, but the Estevan area, our shop there, is quite busy and performing well. So I think it's more an indication of the quarter that it was relatively flat in terms of sales. Like a lot of our business where this equipment is used on the road or in construction, when you get cold, tough weather, parts and service increases right away.
Okay. Thank you.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of John Chu of Laurentian Bank Securities. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. So just on the sales that you had, the record sales you had this quarter, was there any draw forward from Q4 given the, whether it's the quick harvest or anything like that?
Probably on the new sales, that's a good point, John. Yeah, I think the exchange rate in the month of October went from 122 to 128. So I would say that in September was when the exchange rate was most favorable. And what's interesting, last year farmers' decision making was delayed because their harvest wasn't finished. As we were speaking in November last year, there was still a lot of crop out there. So a lot of uncertainty. This year, crop was pretty much done by the middle of September, and decision making around purchases was happening a lot earlier this year. So probably on the new side, that is probably that could be the case. There still is business in the quarter. I can't remember exactly what we did for last year for new sales. A lot of what we see going forward is orders for next year. So in ordering 2018 product rather than ordering buying 2017 stock that's left. So we commented that because of the earlier harvest, what we're seeing is earlier commitments to next year than we did last year. So that was the comment that gives us our comment about positive sentiment going into next year is around the fact that farmers have the grain in the bin, know what they've got, and then can start planning much earlier than they did last year.
So it sounds like farmer sentiment is better, quoting activity is better. Is that fair to say on both fronts? And are you seeing some price increases reflecting that because of that increased demand?
So certainly the big driver on a $700,000 combine is an exchange rate of 122 is very attractive. So on the pricing side, I think it was opportune. Harvest was done. They could think about the future. And it was, and as we make an order, we can lock it in for the following years, so they can lock it in. Part of it as well is we had a number of the new model combines out this year and demonstrated and performed very well, so that creates some positive sentiment with customers as well.
And with the harvest having finished earlier this quarter in Q3. Does that mean that your parts and service sales for Q4 might be a bit weaker because some of that may have crept into Q3 as well?
What was interesting about Q4 last year was as we were trying to get the winter work into our shop, so the annual inspections, there was hesitancy on our customers' part to do it because harvest wasn't done. I need another 300 acres on my machine. Why don't I wait till I just finish it? So I think our shops are full this year earlier, so I'm thinking it's going to be a wash because if they're in the field and needed service versus now they're in the shop and getting serviced. So I think parts might take a dip because when you have a tough harvest, you might sell some parts, but that's just speculation. If customers are looking at getting their machines fixed earlier, that takes parts and service.
And just lastly on the trucking side, you mentioned a lot of small things, streamlining costs, processes, systems, and whatnot. It sounds like it's going to take a while to kind of get that ramped up. Is that a fair comment? Or I'm just trying to understand how quickly can we see with all the little changes you're trying to do now, how we should try to envision how that might play out over the next 12 months or so.
Some things might take a little longer, but we're quite serious about making sure that we can focus on what we can do now to make changes now that will carry on and improve 2018. Some of the longer-term ones, you know, we talked about service optimization, the service process. It was already in place in Ontario. Now we're going in and doing the health checks and the improvements there. So it's not like we're starting from scratch on that, John. But what we have seen historically is it takes, for those process and those habits to get ingrained, it takes a year and a half. And in 2018, you know, we look at our ag group and our material handling group as an example, have really started to hit it out of the park in the process and how they work with customers and ultimately generating better results. We've been doing that for, I'm going to say, at least a year in all stores. So it takes a while to get traction. Other things we can change right away that will have an effect as well. There is some expense management things that we can do today that will help our bottom line. We know that matters. But as we've said before, our focus will be on continuing to grow the business, but disciplined growth. So there may be some SG&A expense on a new location if that's the decision that we make. But overall, we need to look at what is the right load of expenses for each of those branches and stores. Long story, we think there's stuff that can be done today that makes 2018 look significantly better than what we saw today. 2017.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Brian Powell of Acumen. Your line is open.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, Brian.
I just wanted to talk a little bit more about the equipment orders for 2018 on the ag side. I think you indicated, Graham, that the farmers can sort of lock in exchange rate. Maybe you could just sort of help me understand how any move in exchange rate moving forward may impact service.
Well, I think in terms of the ag side of the business or just in
general? Yeah, the ag side. I'm just, you know, you're saying there seem to be good equipment orders because of the exchange rate today, but let's just say we see a move back to 75 cents by the time you deliver those orders. How will that impact you?
I think so. That's a great question, because between 75 and 80 cents or 125 to 130, generally that kind of swing doesn't affect us too much. The one nice thing about locking in today is certainty for our customers, and we have valuation on the trades, and we start marketing the trade-ins from those right away. So that helps our risk, if you will, in terms of the valuation on the used. So the biggest risk would be on the used equipment. If the exchange rate went to 75 or 70, that used equipment will be priced attractively and compared to new. So that's really a positive. If the exchange rate goes to 115 or 110, so I'm taking 10 or 15% swings are the areas of concern for us. A 5 or 10% swing is not. Then the opposite is the case. So if the trade hasn't been taken in but the exchange rate drops, we're able to realize pay John Deere at the new exchange rate and lower the used value at that time of sale. So effectively, John Deere gives us a natural hedge.
Okay.
Where the exchange rate is more critical is on the construction and transportation, where there isn't a trade involved, so the price fluctuates to the customer. So that's one where, you know, making sure that the delivery times are shorter, customer commitments are solid. When the exchange rate's at 122, we can lock it in. But the concern is when the exchange rate goes to 130, sales activity drops off. Customers are waiting for it to get better again. So there's more variability in transportation and construction and material handling than there is on the ag side.
Okay, and then when you look out to next year, should we sort of see, I guess, front-loaded year with more new equipment deliveries than in the past? I mean, should you see a benefit in maybe typically a slower Q1, for example, on new equipment, or are the orders all going to sort of come rushing in Q2?
Q2, Q3, usually. It's usually, so we're talking large equipment. What we sell throughout the year would be the smaller ag equipment, balers, small tractors, loader tractors, pretty much sell through the year. But if you're talking harvest equipment, it's Q2 and Q3. And if you talk significant dollars, it's harvest equipment.
Okay. All right. Thanks. And then just turning to Ontario Peterbilt, I mean, you've given us sort of a sense of you know, some of the differences, some of the challenges, things like that. But when you sort of look where you are today relative to where you know, when you bought it, how much time period are you sort of behind where you expected the business to be?
Oh, that's a good question. I would say a couple of years behind, and there's been a lot of lessons learned across our organization. And while these are internal things, we don't usually talk about them, but there's been a lot of work across the organization on consistent processes. What is consistent across our organization? Driving consistent processes and measurable KPIs across the organization. So process improvement has been going on across the organization. The area that we're also focused on right now is, ultimately, when we acquire another business, how do we integrate faster and drive those processes into the business? I don't want to say instantaneously, but within the first 60 days. So we're doing a lot of work to say, what are the lessons learned as we improve the processes, streamline those things that will enable the acquired business to hit the ground running with customers, sales, and performance. We know there's a real opportunity there, Brian.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Wesley Nixon of National Bank Financial. Your line is open.
Morning, guys.
Good morning.
As we look out to 2018, I'm wondering how we should be thinking about CapEx requirements. I mean, in any given year, as a percentage of sales, has kind of been within a range of 1 to 6%. We're at the low end this year, and it has been trending down in recent years, but would it be fair to assume that that ratio sort of moves higher in 2018, or are we still staying near the lows of 2017?
Yeah, we haven't finished our budgeting for next year, but we see some increase coming. We've been very disciplined on, so the CapEx is mostly vehicles and tools, and on the tools side of it, we really haven't seen much fluctuation year over year, although there's been discipline when the economy's tough in terms of not adding vehicles. And ballpark, we run about $7 million in 2016, $3 million year to date, somewhere in between. I would say $7 million would be the high end on, you know, fleet renewal and that. Now, we're also leaning towards more leasing vehicles just because of the usage and the rates that we have on leasing, so we may not see it. But $3 to $7 million is probably where we're going to be for 2018.
Okay. That's all I had. The rest of my questions have been asked, so thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks.
Gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Thank you, operator. I would once again like to thank everyone for joining us today. We look forward to speaking with you again next quarter and updating you on our recent progress.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.